The inspired writer said in Psalm 119, verse 104 and 105, "Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." While the following scripture study cannot be exhaustive, it is designed to provide insights toward a better understanding of God's word, awareness of ways that are false, and encouragement to study more so that you may live rightly in this world and live forever in heaven.
And then in Acts chapter 3, a lame man is healed in fulfillment of Isaiah 35 that predicted the lame would leap as a deer. And thus the power of the gospel was preached because it had been confirmed with signs following Mark 16:20, Hebrews 2, 1-4. And Peter said, "Repent and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that there may come seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord." And now he quotes Deuteronomy 18:15, the prophecy or the prediction of Moses that God would raise up a prophet, and unto him shall you hearken. And Peter quotes that in Acts 3:22 and says that that prophet was Christ. And then in Acts chapter 4, we have the incident of Barnabas, who had land and sold it, laid the money at the apostles' feet to make distribution to the saints. Unselfish Barnabas, good old Barnabas, as he's been referred to through the years, one of the real unsung heroes of the New Testament. We'll read of him later. One of the greatest things he did was take John Mark, his kinsman, and make a man out of him. Paul didn't want it, but later Paul said he's profitable to me in the service of God. Barnabas was a noble man of God. Hadn't been for Barnabas, Paul never would have been introduced to the other apostles. They were afraid of him. Read Acts chapter 9. In Acts 5, the first sin recorded in the early church is that of Ananias and Sapphira, and had to do with love of money and love of praise. And they were struck dead and buried side by side because they lied to God. Also in Acts 5, the Sanhedrin tells the apostles, "Don't you speak in the name of Jesus anymore." They were beaten. Do you remember how Peter said we ought to obey God rather than men, Acts 5:29? And though beaten for doing nothing but preaching the word of God, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. And daily in the temple and from house to house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ, Acts 5:41 and 42. They filled all Jerusalem with that doctrine, Acts 5:28. They were standing in the temple teaching the people, Acts 5:25. No wonder the word of God grew and multiplied, Acts 12:24. Mightily grew the word of God and prevailed, Acts 19:20. A great company of the priests were obedient to the faith, Acts 6:7. They went everywhere preaching the word, Acts 8, verses 4 and 5. Triumphant was the cause, because bold were the messengers. They spake boldly, and a great multitude believed, Acts 14, 1-3. In Acts chapter 6, we find that they took care of the needy. They were benevolently kind. They had a daily religion that cared for those in need. Church of the Lord today needs to have this constant devotion to duty and responsibility and loving kindness. Surely the church of Christ can have the spirit of Christ. And he cared for all men, yea, he died for all men. He tasted of death for every man, Hebrews 2, verse 9. In Acts chapter 7, we read the brilliant speech, a wonderful resume of Old Testament history by that great martyr, Stephen. He preached so boldly. He told them the story of God raising up Joseph, and his brethren rejected him. Nevertheless, Joseph later saved those who had rejected him. God raised up Moses. His brethren rejected him. Nevertheless, Moses delivered his people from bondage. And the third point, God raised up Jesus. His brethren rejected him. He came unto his own. His own received him not. John 1:11. Nevertheless, he will deliver them. A great sermon, but he was stoned to death for preaching the truth. They killed him, and holding the garments of those who threw the stones at him was a young man named Saul of Tarsus. And here we're introduced to one of the great heroes of the Bible. But when we first see him, he's an enemy of truth. Later he will say, "I now preach the faith which I once destroyed." Galatians 1:23. Truly the gospel is powerful enough to convert its greatest foe. But the first time we see him, he's helping, as he will later say in Acts 22, to put to death that faithful martyr, Stephen. This ought to encourage us to preach the gospel to all men. No one is too good to obey the truth. No one's too bad. No one's too powerful. We ought to take the gospel of Christ to all men all the time. God will give the increase, 1 Corinthians 3. In Acts chapter 9, Saul is breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the church of the Lord. He not only wanted to put Stephen to death, he's compelling to prison others of that way. He has received letters from those in charge of Judaism to go to Damascus to imprison other Christians and put them to death if needs be. You remember how the Lord appears to him on the road and said, "Saul, why do you persecute me?" Saul of Tarsus says, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" And Acts 9:6 says, "Go into the city, and there it will be told you what you must do." Here's an example of how God doesn't talk directly from heaven. He's left the gospel in earthen vessels, 2 Corinthians 4:7. He could have told Saul what to do directly, but that's not his plan. He said, "You go into the city, and there it will be told you." And Ananias, a servant of the Lord, a human being, told him the gospel plan of salvation. He said, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Saul was not saved on the road to Damascus, as denominational preachers say, for he had not yet been told what he must do. And he was a most miserable man for the next 3 days. He fasted and prayed in deep anguish, his sins yet with him, until he arose and was baptized to wash away his sins. Not until then did he call upon the name of the Lord. Read Acts 22:16. In Acts 10, we read of the conversion of Cornelius, the Gentiles. And God had promised, "Once the Gentiles receive my righteousness, then I'll give to my people a new name." Isaiah 62:1-2. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Acts 11:26. Cornelius heard words whereby he might be saved. Acts 10:33. Acts 11:14. It was by the preaching of faith that he was converted. Acts 15:7-9. He was not saved by direct operation of the Holy Spirit. For after the Holy Spirit had come to introduce the Gentiles to the kingdom, Peter said, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Acts 10:47-48. So anyone who teaches that Cornelius was saved by faith alone or by direct operation of the Holy Spirit needs to go back and read Acts 10 and Acts 11. He had to hear words whereby he might be saved. He had to adhere to all things commanded Peter by God, and he was commanded to be baptized in the name of the Lord.
The message which you have just heard was brought to you by the Church of Christ.